This is Dirt and Sprague.
I mean, how does a tiger get in the bathroom? He almost killed me.
Hey, bro, you mind putting on some pants? I find it a little weird. I have to ask twice.
Pants at a time like this, I don't have any.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Hey, is it a little too early for being that loud? Hey, too late. It's 0600. What's the O stand for? Oh, my God, it's early.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Okay, I'm going to get on that. Just
Joyce,
give me a minute.
Joyce is very upset.
Flo, we've discussed this. Mornings are for coffee and contemplation.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two. Dirt and Sprague here on 1080 The Fan, the Odyssey app, 99.5 HD2, and of course, YouTube.
I want to get a taste of like what that, how big does that feel?
Loaded second hour of the program.
It's a big second hour.
And we'll give you a taste. The Blazers in the headlines again.
They are.
They can't go away. We can't quit you.
No, they're back, baby. This is another brilliant pickup yesterday.
Jan Hansen will have his introductory press conference this morning at 10, so Danny and Dusty will have that audio for you from noon to 3. We will not have it, unfortunately.
Be after we're off the air today.
And if you miss it then, I'm sure Isaac and Suk will play it during their show. So we will we'll be introduced to Jan Hansen. By the way, you can reach us at the Van Text line, 503-864-6326. Talk college football at the bottom of the hour. Blazers in the news. They made another move yesterday.
They did. We added another piece.
We didn't have a second-round draft pick.
No.
But we can sign guys who don't get drafted. And we signed a local favorite. A thorn in the side.
Yeah, it really is. Pain in my ass, man.
Caleb Love.
Caleb Love.
Welcome to Portland, Oregon, USA.
Of course, the guy who randomly has games where he's like 2 for 27 and then all of a sudden plays the Ducks in the tournament and has a game where he's lights out and can't miss. He turned into North Carolina Final Four Caleb Love.
Yeah.
And he did that to my team in the NCAA tournament this year. He's a good scorer, I'll give you that. He's a volume shooter.
He's an undersized two guard.
He's never seen a shot that he doesn't like. That much I know about Caleb Love.
Swag came in and goes, Caleb Love. What are we doing? I thought we were building differently. And I'm like, do you have Caleb Love in the 9 to 8 man rotation? Because I don't.
What, he got a 2-way contract, right? So that guarantees
he'll
be a remix slash Blazer guy throughout
the year.
If there's
an injury, he'll get called up. Yeah. And I don't know if Caleb Love's going to average 5 minutes a game.
He is a career in college. He played 5 years in college because I think he had the COVID year, year one. So that was a no counties when he was at North Carolina. He's a career 32% three-point shooter.
I mean, it's college.
It is college. You can get better. That's not a great. I mean, when you're looking for a two guard that is known for scoring the basketball and being a good shooter,
I think a lot of that is due to shot selection.
Yeah, he took eight a game.
I mean, how many just?
Yeah, you hate Caleb Love.
I'm not a fan of Caleb.
No, he's listening to the show.
He's the newest Blazer. You'd be nice.
I love Caleb Love.
You're a big Caleb Love.
I love Love. You love whoever you want to love, Caleb. Love.
I'm yawning for Love.
Kevin Love's from here.
He is. Pretty good NBA career.
I love in the Rose City for Caleb Love.
I tend to agree with Swigart on this one. I just, 6'4", jacks up a lot of bad shots. There's nothing about watching him in college.
So you guys have, okay, so you get, you're talking about this as if you have him as an actual rotational player.
No,
barring
no, but I'm just wondering.
In terms of guys you could have given a two-way contract
why
to, he's
bother?
Not, he wouldn't have been at the top of my list, probably.
Exactly.
Now, I don't have the fullest available players. I'm not going to pretend
maybe
that
we
I
want
do.
A G League title.
Maybe we
have
do.
Have you thought about that?
That'd be the closest we come to winning anything. So,
well,
other than summer league titles.
All right. Do you like Jan Hansen?
I know nothing about Jan. I cannot formulate an opinion.
I've never watched him play basketball.
You've never watched the highlights, huh?
I mean, I've seen 30 seconds of highlights of him yamming on 5 foot
Jan
5
will
dudes.
Get me to watch Summer League, though.
Yes, he will.
I will say that. Normally, Summer League, I'd be like, okay, whatever.
You see that
but
dunk off
that
the
was one of my disappointments, is Caleb Love's going to ball hog in Summer League, isn't he? He's going to take away all of Jan's possessions. He's going to be jacking up shots
like Caleb
left and right.
Love could put up numbers to the point where he could win Summer League MVP.
Absolutely could.
Well, I think that's a goal. I would say that's probably on a wall
What's
somewhere.
What's his shots per game in summer league going to be?
The whole point
Caleb Love. Oh, that's
summer.
A good number.
What 14 and a half. Oh,
14 man. And a half over under.
Over.
That's a good one. I like that.
He's never seen a shot that he doesn't like,
that's
Caleb
true.
Love.
And the point of summer league is to figure out what Young might be able to contribute.
Now, what's Young's over under of field goals per game in summer league? Okay, let's do this. This is the poll question. Who will average more shots per game in summer league? Caleb
I mean, it'll
Love.
It'll be Caleb Love.
It'll
for
be
sure.
Caleb
or
Love.
Young. Without
Hansen.
A doubt, it'll be Caleb Love.
Okay.
Without a doubt. Aren't we on a streak, too, where we got like 3 years in a row where our top pick has gotten hurt right away in some leagues?
Why do you got to throw that out there? We already have a 7-2 guy.
People are already nervous for that reason.
History. I'm not speculating. I'm just speaking facts here.
Do we have any injury history of Young Hanson? I don't think we do, do we?
No. And when we draft centers, they usually end up being relatively healthy in our market.
Klingon was.
Not in summer league he wasn't. Didn't he get hurt right away? And he couldn't play more than 20 minutes a night. I was told his head would fall off.
I thought he played like the first or second game, and then he got...
He doesn't have legs anymore. You got magic legs.
I have to disclose this.
What happened to Donovan, man?
A lot of stuff, they shut him down.
A lot of stuff
happens off the air.
13 minutes. Get him out!
So we're out at the Fan Golf Classic, and we're all hanging out at the par 3 sixth hole. And of course, Danny's there, and Danny doesn't see us very often. Danny hears Dirt's takes. Danny disagrees with half of Dirt's takes.
It's 85% of them, probably.
And you also disagree the other way.
Sure.
But it's a friendly banter. But it got to a point where we were just talking about the lineup. Very casually, we were sitting down, we were just chilling with sunglasses on, and we said, well, Donovan starts at center and plays X amount of minutes. We were just running through a scenario.
This is before they drafted a center because nobody thought they were going to draft a center.
And Danny just goes, he's not going to play! He'll literally die!
What?
I wanted to be like, I don't think he'll literally die.
I mean, the last 2 months of the year, he played like 30 minutes a night. He's still, last I checked, Donovan Klingon still alive.
So that's a little bit of a contentious topic behind the scenes here at the Fan is Dirt saying he played more than 25 minutes, and Danny saying if he does, he dies.
He's going to die. His head's going to fall off.
If he dies, he dies.
He's gone. See you later.
Maybe that's why we drafted Young. We know Donovan's going to die playing 27 minutes in Young Hanson's
27 minutes a night. He can't hold up. The last month of the year, by the way, you played 28 minutes a night.
Yeah, I know. I watched it. You know, so. He looked tired, but he played.
He did. Every game was over 25 minutes.
Young Hanson going to be introduced. Caleb Love, they just signed. Here is we got the draft phone call. Now, this one's interesting to watch on video, and I know that doesn't help the audio audience here. We'll give you the audio. The video, if I could paint a picture for you, is Chauncey holding the phone the way your dad does in front of his face.
Yes.
Not sure if it's actually working.
Can you see me? Can you hear me? Are you there?
Is this on?
Hello?
And then Joe Cronin is right over his shoulder, stepbrother style. And they call him.
Hey, Young.
This is the back and forth they have with Young Hanson.
Yo. Hanson, how you doing? Congratulations.
He's very thankful, very excited, and thank you guys for picking him.
Absolutely. We're looking forward to getting you out here. We're going to have some fun, buddy.
He said he's gonna work hard, he's going to train hard, he's going to play well.
That's right. All right.
Congrats.
Thank you.
He's so happy. He's very happy right now. he's so excited that he doesn't even know how to talk anymore.
All right. We'll see you tomorrow.
Chauncey with the... All right, well, we'll see you tomorrow.
All right, I'm getting off this call immediately. I'm awkward and uncomfortable, and I'd like to hang this up as fast as possible.
Now, I have a real question.
We're talking to a translator over FaceTime.
Serious question. One, I said earlier, I think translator for a sports athlete is underrated. Mm-hmm. One of the cooler jobs you could have. I wish I would have learned a language to the point where I could have done this.
It'd be a great gig. You got to find the American athlete overseas, and then you speak that language, too. I feel like that's easy.
No, I want to stay here.
You want to stay here?
I want to stay
here. So you want to learn Spanish or Japanese or Chinese? Yeah. Or something.
I
want to
be the white guy that's translating for the Hispanic player.
Oh, okay.
And then they look at me and they go, where's the translator? And I'm like, looking at him.
It's me, brother.
Amigo.
I got you, dog.
That's what I would like to do. Dream job there. What happens during timeouts? Is the translator on the bench?
Probably.
If he's not, maybe he understands English.
Yeah, I don't know what his base level is.
So maybe talking is the part of it.
And I'm sure there's
I'm just curious
some,
about
there's
this.
Some, like, I'm sure basketball stuff, like he like basketball terms.
Sure, pick and roll.
He's probably familiar with.
Right, but he makes a mistake. It's the second quarter. There's free throws.
Young is back because Donovan's in, yeah. So he doesn't need to be at the rebound area.
No, there'll definitely have to be some figuring out. They'll have to come up with something, either hand signals or something initially. I don't know how comfortable he is with English.
I will tell you this.
Sign language would be pretty wild if they did it.
That'd be pretty dope. It'd be like the replacements.
Yeah, it would. Yeah. With the tight end.
With the deaf tight end.
Yeah, it'd be badass.
Now, we talked a lot about Young Hansen yesterday. Some people probably disagree. I thought we were pretty measured. We kind of made fun of it. We talked about how much of a reach it was while also saying they really like it. And at least they were so convinced about this guy, they took the pick and they didn't let America scare them out of it.
No.
And Joe swore by it and they've put everything on the line for this cat. You know, I'm pretty excited. Now, I'm not telling you he's going to be all world, they're going to win a championship with this cat. But to your point earlier, Swag, I have a reason now to want to watch Summer League.
I'm jacked out of my gourd for Summer League.
Because I just want to see it. I want to see all the highlights I can watch. Hey, see that spin move? Yeah. Against that 5'10 cat.
Yeah.
Does
he look like a functioning NBA player?
But, you know, I saw a clip yesterday against Alex Saar at an under-23 game, and I'm like, that's an NBA player.
Yeah.
So I just want to see what it looks like against some NBA guys, even though Summer League is a lot of non-NBA guys.
Sure, but I think that's the base level of, like, you being successful against Summer League players does not mean anything. Quintel Woods, line one.
No, but I think it goes a long way for this.
I think it goes a long way just to prove that you can hang. Yes. Right? Him having a good Summer League doesn't guarantee you that he's going to have a great NBA career, but at least it settles fears of, like, what is this and how big of a reach was this actually?
Right.
That's the hardest part that I have right now, right? Like, I agree with everything he said. Like, there is an appreciation level for the amount of nuts that they put on the table to make this pick of, like, this was an absolute swing for the fences.
Yeah.
And I can respect that. You're going to go down swinging. Let's see what we got. I've also never seen this guy play basketball. I'm not going to formulate opinion on him until outside of, like, and everybody's doing that right now of a little clipped highlights of the best plays that he made throughout the course of a season.
I think measured people,
a game,
though.
Like, oh, look at this play. Look at this play. I say, it's a highlight clip. It's 3 minutes long of great plays. What does he look like over the course of a game? Very excited to see how it all transpires. Very excited to see how he looks and how he hangs and just how it all flows in the game.
I do think, you take the internet away, I think most measured Blazer fans are kind of in that, like, I don't know. I don't know. I mean,
Yeah, it's different. Now he's here.
I have diehard Blazer fans in my life, and they still yesterday were like, they weren't even like, all right, I'm in. You know, it was still like, I have no clue.
No clue.
I have no idea. I heard, I was listening to Zach Lowe's podcast, and he did a draft team thing, and he got to something that I want to throw at you before we pivot out of basketball and get to some college football dealings. But I heard this name comp to Young Hansen. And it scared me. I got to admit, it scared me a little bit. I've heard the Chinese Jokic, okay? Timu Joker. I heard Papa Giannis, and that brought a real bad flashback to my life of what kind of prospect. I heard a Thon Maker, and I went,
no, 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 no,
no, no, don't do this to me.
The hard part is, like, and I saw a lot of this from Blazer fans yesterday who were obviously very supportive of the pick because that's what a lot of Blazer fans will do no matter who the player is and what the pick is. They just jump on, and this is going to be the greatest thing ever, right? And they point to specific things. This is the hard part about him, though. Like, you can point to his combine performance in which the reports were that he had a very good combine and he held his own. You could point to the Blazer Pro Day and say, look how well he did. And the reports were that he looked very competent and very good against the other NBA draft prospects that were in town that they were playing against.
Was it Asa Newell?
I think Asa Newell was in town, I believe. Yeah. I can't remember all the other names, but those are guys who were vying to be drafted in the NBA. And then you have the no ceilings guys who say they talked to people at his Lakers pro day and say it looked like he didn't belong on an NBA floor.
Right.
So you have, I mean, it's just, and that's going to be part of the young player and the growth and development that you're going to see. There's going to be highs, there's going to be lows. So I'm not reacting too much in either direction, but that has been part of the difficult nature of putting a pin on exactly where he is as a player, is that you have such drastically different takes on him, and especially just in recent weeks and months leading into the NBA draft.
I'm excited to see it. I know his press conference is going to be just after our show. So again, you will get all that audio on Danny and Dusty and on Primetime.
Do we have a number yet? Have they announced a number yet? Do we know?
I haven't.
I don't think so. Usually they hold up a jersey at the end of it. 10, so I'm guessing that'll be
also
determined then.
The media. So I saw this on Blazer's Edge. He specifically wanted people to know that it's Young Hansen, even though his name, I guess in our culture would be Hansen Yong.
Yong, yeah.
But they go, the surname goes first, right?
Johnson, Andy, Sprague, Brandon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could you do that? Would that throw you off? People just called you Johnson?
People kind of have called me Johnson my entire life.
I had a wealth manager.
You and your Johnson, a way of life
session,
for over 50
and they asked
years.
Why your nickname was Turd, and I went, oh, I thought we were talking about 401ks.
Yeah, I thought we were going over finances here. Yeah, she brought that up in my meeting. Said, I heard the story about dirt. What do you mean?
Well, I didn't give her the full story.
What are you talking about? I want to get a taste of like how big does that feel?
What are you talking about? If I ever tell people, and I don't rarely, I usually save that for dirt, but if I ever tell somebody how he got his nickname, Dirt, I usually give the PG version.
Yeah.
Because it's on dirt to tell the full extent version, and I will never do that to him.
I'm not telling it until I get fired.
Yeah, that's a good call.
The last show I do when I'm on my way out, when I get turf finally from this place, I'll tell you the story.
Trying to see. He was 51 in China.
Number 51?
51. Does that leave you confident?
No. I want a single-digit number.
Really?
I do. Give me two.
Yao was 11.
Who's two? Do we have a two on our team right now?
Two money
is not two.
Two money.
Come on now.
Dose. Money.
Give me a nine. Give me a niner. We got a niner on our
team. You want him single digits?
I want a single digit. Give me a one. Wasn't Amp one? He's gone now.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got number one left.
Ayton is two.
Touche.
That's right.
Touche.
Jeremy Grant is nine.
That's right.
Well, Holiday is four. That's on the
roster.
We have the two established, yes. You don't need to keep reading numbers.
What about number three? Do we got a number three?
We will go to college football at the bottom of the hour. Could be big news announced on Monday.
Ooh, it's around the corner.
Because it is Friday, as everybody knows. Something I heard yesterday that I want to throw at you. I want to do a feeler at this sports topic with you, and I'll tell you what it is next on The Fan. All right, the poll question is up. Who will average more shots per game in Summer League for the Blazers, Caleb Love or Yong Hansen? You can vote at Dirt and Sprague. We will talk college football. A new team in the Pac-12 is going to probably be announced on Monday. We'll talk some off-season Big Ten stuff.
I love how they have to drag this out. Like, we all know who the team is. We formally extended the offer. They have until the end of the weekend to accept. Like, what are we doing?
It's equivalent to the NBA draft cap, right?
Come on, let's go. Let's go. We know who it is.
You're not a Grizzly. You're a Blazer. No. We all know this.
Moving on. Let's talk about it.
They did it again last night, and Malika Andrews called it out on the television.
As she should. It's really stupid.
Like,
that
this
the league
is ridiculous.
That. We all know where these guys are going to end up. We all know the team. The trade's been reported before the draft pick even goes down. We know what the trade is. Let's let them put the right hat on.
Zach Lowe is one of my favorite NBA people. I was really bummed that he got fired by ESPN, but I was really happy that he's back. He's got a great podcast, and he did a deep dive. And he actually did an extended part of his pod on the Blazers because they had the most random pick, I think, of the first round and a lot of controversy surrounding that choice. But he talked about the Blazers and how they're fascinating. And something he got my gears turning on in listening to what he was saying. We may not buy the Blazers to a certain extent in the West, right? But what they have made clear, at least Chauncey did, and I think Joe has kind of tampered it or tried to tamper it, is what the expectations or feelings are of what next year's team will be. Now, I'm still sitting, and I got a sandwich bet with you that I think they're going to make another trade, and they will not have five centers on the team. I don't even think it'll be four. You don't buy that, and I don't blame you for it. What I want to ask you, though, is when you look at the West, and all we talk about, and I thought he made a really good point on this of, you know, the West. The West is tough. We all are well aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
But when we look at the West, I'm not telling you the Blazers are better than, but how many teams do you look at and you say, without a doubt, you know next year will be better than Portland? Like, the most confidence you can have.
The 100% certainty.
You don't question it. Now, I'm not going to play the injury game with you.
Yeah, just as healthy, as constructed.
Yeah, as currently, and we still have free agency, sure, and we'll have probably some trade stuff. How many teams in the West do you look at and say, better than Portland?
That I'd be willing to gamble my life savings on having more wins than Portland next year, if healthy. Oklahoma City.
Yes.
Houston.
Yes.
The Lakers.
Yes.
The Nuggets.
Yes.
The Clippers.
Yeah.
We're better than the Clippers now, huh?
No. I again, this is not a we're better than.
Sure. Yeah, I'd be willing to gamble
with
the Clippers.
I just have a tier of teams that I have questions about.
Sure. I think the Clippers had a really good regular season. I think you could argue in the last 2 months of the year they were the best team in the regular season. They had a very disappointing playoff performance.
You still have Zubac. You still have
Kawhi. And,
yep. Norm Powell is still Clippers.
This is barring injury, so we're assuming health, right?
Yep.
I would still put Anthony Edwards in Minnesota.
Agreed.
I don't know what their offseason is going to look like. I would still put them there.
Did you see him make fun of himself, by the way?
I did. Good for him. You got to be able to poke fun at yourself.
I agree, yeah.
Golden State, I would still put in that category. I know they're getting older, but they still have Steph. I think Jimmy for a full year.
Pajemski, I think, is a good guy for them. Role-wise, Kuminga's probably going to go to Miami.
Those are probably all the teams that I'd be willing to gamble with. That level of confidence will have a better record than the Blazers
next year.
So that's 17.
So that was kind of the point that they were talking about, is not that the Portland Trail Blazers are going to be the 8 seed, but more just you can kind of understand why maybe the slight pivot. And I'd also argue this. I don't know what other trades, if he does have any, they're going to be and how we're going to feel about it. I know people feel a certain way about Ant and having to attach picks to move Anthony Simons. I would argue, did you watch him play?
Yep.
The thing we did with Ant is we didn't trade him early enough. We waited too long. That's what happens sometimes if you wait too long. It feels like Cronin, what is this going to be, year 4 for him as a general manager? Because I'm going to count the interim, because I think he had that gig before they officially announced.
4 or 5.
I think it's year 5, dude.
Is he going into year 5?
Because I mean.
Neil was fired 2021, wasn't he?
Let me see. I'll pull it up.
So midway of 21, 22, 23, 24.
This will be
25. So year 5.
Yeah,
so I'm counting the interim run.
Yeah, December of 2021, he was named interim
general
manager.
Okay, so he's going into his 5th season as a general manager. I'm kind of wondering with this, with all the question marks, Dallas has got injuries, the Kings, okay. Good luck telling me what you think the Grizzlies will be. The Suns look like a disaster. We can say the Spurs, but you don't know yet about the Spurs. I certainly love what the Spurs have on paper.
Yeah.
And the Pelicans are a joke, and I think the Jazz are too young.
And their top pick might not be showing up.
So, at a moment where Portland kind of has this little window of maybe getting back into a playoff conversation, I will say going into his 5th year, it does feel like Cronin is finally becoming a more aggressive general manager.
I would argue, based on all of this, and I agree with the sentiment that you're pointing out, that there's no reason you shouldn't be a top 10 seed in the Western Conference next year. Can we agree with that? Like,
yeah.
Your guys are going into year 4, year 3.
Yes.
All of your players are young, and you're telling me they're developing, and you got 2, and you got Denny, and I know you just took a project at 16 who probably won't play a ton, but we'll wait and see on that. You added a veteran in Drew Holiday who just won an NBA title 2 years ago. Like, everything that you're telling me is you're pointing to you should be in that mix, and I don't think there's no reason you shouldn't be around Sacramento next year.
You should be better than Sacramento.
You should be, right? And Dallas,
I think.
You could say what you want about Dallas. I mean, a lot of it depends on how Cooper Flagg looks and how long it takes Kyrie Irving to return and what is he like when he returns. If you get a decent rookie year out of Cooper Flagg, Anthony Davis, and then Kyrie comes
if AD
back.
AD stays healthy.
Like, dude, Dallas will be much better than you. I don't have a doubt in my mind. And the same goes with San Antonio, right? Like, barring health, if Wemby is healthy all year, San Antonio was going to be a play-in team likely, and then he went down with the blood clots late in the year.
That's the big
And their season
mark.
Tanked, right? If he stays healthy, they will unquestionably be better
they
than
might
you.
Be a top 6 team.
They might
healthy.
Be. They might have
team.
Home court advantage in the playoffs next year, for all we know, in San Antonio.
Yeah.
But based on the direction you're going, like in year 5, like, yeah, dude, there's no excuse to not be in a play-in. This is year 5. You just traded one of your quote-unquote younger players, who ironically was going into year 8 or year 9 for Ant, for a vet. Like, that is a win-now move. And I think that's some of the criticism people have still is, what's the vision? You got two different tracks going on a little bit again. Young players, older players, are you trying to win? Are you trying to develop? What's the most important thing? This is a year where you should be in a play-in situation.
But the draft pick felt very...
development.
Well, yeah, it's obviously development with Young, but I also just... my takeaway from it was emboldened a little bit. I'm not playing scared. I am here. I've signed my extension.
I think a lot of that too is the owner. Like, you're going, like, they might get fired either way. I don't think extensions be damned. We got
a new owner
taking over in a year ish. Whenever that happens, like, you might be out the door anyway.
So he's just going down saying, you know what? Like, I love this cat, and I don't care what anybody thinks.
Yeah, my job's on the line. Don't matter.
Well, it's not on the line. I mean, right now it's not. He's got still the same owner, and that might take a year for them to get through that. And so he might have 2 more seasons here. Unless he convinces the new owner, like, hey, let me keep going. And the owner's like, okay, sure.
This pick will be a big part of that.
So I don't know. It's I'm still fascinated by the roster building. I don't know if I agree with everything that's going on yet. But if you keep making and being aggressive with some moves, you certainly run down the West, and it is not easy. Dallas is a big question mark, but there's a lot of teams there that, man, that just as easily could go the opposite way.
Yep.
Steph is old. Jimmy's old. So what's Golden State with no Steph for like 40 games? The Grizzlies are counting on Ja Morant to stay healthy. The Kangs are the Kangs. The Mavericks need AD to stay healthy, I think, to be competing. The Suns are like the biggest of question marks. The Pelicans blow, and the Spurs have a big man coming back who couldn't stay healthy last year. So, like, there's still a lot in play here where the West is tough. You're not close to the top end of that conference. But past a certain tier, you are in a conversation. And I find how they're building this and what they're going to do going more as we get into the summer fascinating.
Yep.
So, the Blazers and where they're at in the West. Not as quite bottom teary as it felt, and maybe you have an opportunity to take a little bit of a leap this year.
That'd be a big disappointment if they don't.
Yeah. Well, barring injury, of course. Yeah.
Yes.
Let's go to the Daily Ticker. Let's talk some college football. We haven't talked college football in quite a while. Shahan Jayaraja of CBSSports.com. He wrote his best and worst case scenarios of the Big 12 for CBS.com. We'll talk about that. Texas State to the Pac-12. Oregon offseason. Daily Ticker is next on The Fan.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker on The Fan is poured by Pelican Brewing. Experience your hops differently with Hard Hops Blackberry, hop-infused hard seltzers.
All right, Daily Ticker brought to you by Pelican Brewing. Experience your hops differently with Pelican Brewing's new Hard Hops Blackberry Seltzer infused with Strata hops made with real blackberries. Hard hops are available now at a store near you. Let's talk some college football. Changing the pace a little bit. Been a lot of Blazers this week with the NBA draft, the acquisition of players. Let's talk some college football because there's a lot going on in the news in that sport. And joining us now is our good friend, Shahan Jayaraja, national college football writer for CBS Sports. You can go give him a follow on Twitter at Shahan Jayaraja. Shahan, good morning to you. Thanks for the time out here in Portland. You're down in the state of Texas. This is like one of the worst kept secrets. I'm not sure why we can't just announce it. It's like they extended an invitation. They have 8 hours to consider, but we know what's going to happen by July. Everybody knows
they will accept the invite.
Everybody knows Texas State is going to the Pac-12. You're down there. What do we know about Texas State, and what do you make of the addition for the conference?
Yeah, I feel like this whole offseason has been us writing things like, it's about to, the house case is about to be passed. Texas State is about, yeah, so it's good that we hopefully will finally get some resolution on Monday. And that's where things are headed right now. You know, the Texas State has been waiting out essentially a full share invitation to the Pac-12. They've gotten an offer for lesser than a full share, a half share, things like that. But they really wanted to make sure that they'd have the opportunity to be competitive when they moved over to that conference. And while this isn't the Pac-12 of old, this isn't going to, I don't think, be considered a power conference, it's still a really, really good conference with teams like Boise State, San Diego State, and Fresno State. And, you know, Texas State wanted to make sure that they had the opportunity to compete with the best of them. But, you know, this is something that's really been so many years in the making at Texas State. They moved up in football 2011, 2012 from the FCS level. They've been trying to establish themselves as a relevant program. And I think that for them, you know, G.J. Kinney coming in as a head coach, taking them to back-to-back 8-win seasons, it proves that there's potential at this place. And finally, after a long while, it's enough that the Pac-12 decided this is the right program to get us to 8 football members.
So help us understand, because Oregon State, Washington State, they have to do this weird solo Pac-12 kind of Mountain West thing, and then they play for some fake Pac-12 title last year, and they'll play twice this year. What is on the horizon with Texas State? You talk about building a program, and even if it's a lesser share, wanting to be in a good conference, and the Pac-12 set themselves up to be in this position. What kind of team do you think Oregon State and Washington State fans should be expecting to face Texas State when the conference starts?
Well, there's a couple pieces of this, right? One, G.J. Kinney is a dynamic offensive coach, a young star. You know, he played at Tulsa not very long ago. And you know, he really brings a dynamic style offense. He's done a tremendous job with quarterbacks, brought in Jordan McLeod last year, who was the year before that Sun Belt Player of the Year. TJ Finley had a tremendous season the year before that. So you're going to get a chance to see dynamic offense. And actually, you know, especially for the folks over at Washington State, I mean, it really should be a very familiar situation. So G.J. Kinney took over for Eric Morris at Incarnate Word, who left to become offensive coordinator with Cam Ward at Washington State. So a lot of similarities there. The other thing, too, is, I mean, it's fascinating, right? Like, with this move, 7 of the 10 FBS conferences next year, or I guess the year after that, are going to have teams in Texas. And so you're going to have an aspect of Texas DNA, both in terms of recruiting stature, in terms of fan support, in terms of interest. By the way, I don't think it can be ignored with this move that a big part of Texas State's rise has been the fact that the Austin Metroplex is the fastest growing metro in the country right now. And I think that there's an opportunity to really maximize on that and not just have an opportunity to play a team from Texas, to recruit students from Texas, or recruit players from Texas, but also recruit students from the state of Texas as well.
Interesting. Shehan Jeyaraja is our guest, national college football writer for CBS Sports, at Shehan Jeyaraja. He's got a great piece up right now on the big money behind Texas Tech and how they have transformed themselves into a program that can contend.
Talk about a sleeper potentially.
Talk about a sleeper in the Big 12. Yeah, it's pinned on his Twitter. You can find it at cbssports.com. You know, all of this is speculation, so I just want curious to ask anyways. I mean, we knew that the Pac-12 had to add one more team in order to become a full football conference. Texas State will be that team as, you know, as of Monday or whenever the date will be. Is there more there? Like, do you think they're done? Is that we're just getting to the base level and let's, you know, tidy it up and that's all we're going to do for now? Do you see a Memphis as a football only? Do you see other schools joining, or is this it for the Pac-12?
I think this is it for right now, because here's the reality. For 2026, they had to get to 8 teams just to be an NCAA recognized conference, essentially. And so Texas State becomes the 8th. And now here's the other thing with the timing as well. Texas State needed to have this resolved before July 1st because their buyout to leave the Sun Belt goes from $5 million to $10 million. And that's going to be the case for a lot of programs that could potentially be looking at the Pac-12. So I think that adding Texas State right now is an indication of we're going to roll forward with this for the moment. Now, again, long term, obviously, that could be a different conversation. But I do think that when 2026 comes around, these are the 8 football playing members that will be there. And, you know, it's a fascinating dynamic. You know, I think that we've gotten into this idea of, you know, Power 5, Group of 5. That's kind of how we view college football in so many ways. I think that that's changing. And I think that this sets up one of the more interesting battles, which is, you know, of course, you kind of have the Big 2 with the Big 10 and SEC. You have kind of the medium 2 with the Big 12 and ACC. I think that the battle for supremacy in the non-powers between the Pac-12 and AAC is going to be a fascinating subplot. And what I mean by that, too, is, you know, I think that there are a lot of teams that are currently in the AAC, like Tulane, like Memphis, maybe like UTSA, that considered interest from the Pac-12 and ultimately decided we're in a more stable situation being in our conference as is. Well, the Pac-12, of course, you know, they feel really good about the television contract they're coming up with, which will be anchored on CBS, which, by the way, I have no inside info to that, even though I'm at CBS. But I think that, you know, Texas State is making a bet and a gamble that, you know what, we've been in a good situation in the Sun Belt, but the Pac-12 will end up being an even better situation for us.
Non-Pac-12 related question for you here. One of our good friends of our program, and I know he's technically, I think, a co-worker of yours, Josh Pate, he talked about loudest or toughest places to play stadium-wise, and he picked Neyland Stadium in Tennessee. What for you is the toughest place in college football to play venue-wise?
Yeah, I think Neyland's a really good choice. Really, really passionate fans. You know, I think Death Valley at LSU, that's one that always is going to come to mind as one of the top. There's kind of different ways to judge, of course, you know, and I'd be remiss if I didn't mention Austin. Like, I think the way that that place is set up is just so incredible. The way that it keeps noise in, you know, for people who don't know, I'm a Baylor graduate. They replicated some of like the awnings and stuff to keep noise in the stadium just because of what an incredible job Autzen does for the how many people it can hold. So those would be some of the first ones that come to mind for me would be Neyland, Death Valley, and Autzen Stadium.
Interesting. Last one for you, Shehan, on your piece on Texas Tech. Fascinating read, diving into it. I just like, what are the expectations? How does this all work out in Lubbock? I mean, they are seriously investing, and it seems like every major sport. We saw the softball team. We've seen all the additions to the football team. How do you think this plays out for them in Lubbock?
Yeah, well, first of all, I mean, I'm really touched on it that people have read 5,000 words in a story. I didn't know that people still did that anymore. So it's been pretty cool to see the reaction.
Can you make a TikTok of it to explain it to me in 15 seconds? So next time, that'd be great.
I did make a TikTok as well, so hopefully that helped to wrap it up for some people. But I do think that, it's fascinating, right? Like, they acknowledge this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity before the House case really goes into effect, and they wanted to hit that hole and hit it fast. And so this is a potentially once-in-a-lifetime roster that they have on their hands. And everybody in the building, they say it. Our goal is we need to get to Arlington. We need to get to Arlington. We need to play for the Big 12. They've never played for the Big 12 since the conference was formed in 1996. They've never won an outright conference championship since 1955. So, you know, there's no expectations that they're going to win the national championship or anything next year. But they would be incredibly disappointed if they are not on the stage with a chance to go to the college football playoff whenever December comes around.
Yeah. Sean, one last question for you. One interesting part of, roster building and program building, the way that Texas Tech has gone about this, really good piece, by the way. I did read all 5,000 words. The general manager role in college football, it's become bigger and bigger. Is this something that in another year or two, this becomes maybe as big as coaches, just given where we're at with NIL, the future of athletes being paid, the whole house settlement stuff? Like, I know we talk about the general manager, or, hey, we say this guy's the GM, but is that a role we talk about on the level with coaches in that sport soon?
Yeah, it's fascinating. There have kind of been two ways that programs have addressed general managers. Well, I guess maybe three ways. One is the coach essentially has their general manager, right? Like, James Blanchard is very much a Joey McGuire guy. The second piece is we've seen some programs hire GMs essentially to be over football. You know, Andrew Luck, Ron Rivera over in the Bay Area, Jim Nagy at Oklahoma. Like, these are guys who they don't necessarily have firing power, although Andrew Luck apparently did. But they are somebody who, when the coach is let go, they might still remain with the program. The third piece is some coaches are like, we don't want a GM. I can be the GM, no problem. Like, I don't need to do all that. And so I think it's really fascinating to see the three approaches. Again, we've seen much more, I would say, of that first bucket of GMs tied to a coach. I'm fascinated to see if we see an expansion of GMs, not necessarily being in charge of coaches, but like you said, maybe having a little bit more equal footing, especially when it comes to resource allocation in this post-house world.
Yeah, great stuff as always. Shehan Jeyaraja, you can go find all his work, CBSSports.com. You can find him on Twitter at Shehan Jeyaraja. He's a national college football writer for CBS Sports. Always appreciate the time. College football will be here before we know it. Thanks, and hopefully we can do this again soon.
Thank you so much for having me.
There you go. Shehan Jeyaraja. Good stuff from him, man. On Texas State coming to the Pac-12, what that addition means, adding that State thinks they're done for now. That's enough. Just get to your eight. Let's see how the landscape looks in a couple of years. You can always expand further down the road if you want to as a conference. And I want to talk a little bit about some of the stuff that he was mentioning there on the addition of Texas State, and then which of these two athletes had the worst comments? Who looked worse out of this? We'll talk about that coming up next. Daily Ticker is always brought to you by Pelican Brewing. Experience your hops differently with Pelican's new Hard Hops Blackberry Seltzer. Infused with Strata hops made with real blackberries. Hard hops are available now at a store near you. A little more college football next on The Fan. All right, welcome back, Kim. We don't have a lot of time here because you idiots wouldn't shut up during the stupid reports. God, it's not a segment, guys. Wrap it up.
Second time baseball has turned a report into like a 3.5-minute segment.
Look, I feel like stinking it up is starting to target me, and I'm lashing out emotionally based on
Don't
it.
Don't get swept by the Marlins at home.
I'm going to lash out emotionally.
Okay.
How'd the Braves do yesterday?
Got shut out.
Oh.
Okay. That was in the open.
Okay. Checking. Following up.
We still doing stinking it up?
By the way, Mariners did not win 3 out of 4 against the Twins. They split the series.
Oh.
Yeah, lost the last two.
Okay.
10-1 yesterday.
Split's better than a sweep, isn't it?
Yeah.
Get your facts right, all right?
Get you two of those.
Get you 3 more wins. Got a better record than them.
Get you one of these.
This is so stupid. I hate both of you. Anyways, Texas State's coming to the Pac-12. That's going to be official on Monday.
Yes.
The Bobcats coming
to
town.
The Bobcats.
Texas State.
Raise your hand if your team's won a World Series since 2020. What were you saying?
Bobcat. Texas State's joining your football conference. That's what I'm saying. It's football season now. Baseball season's over, right?
I don't think Soler's home run has landed in Houston yet.
Still hasn't landed?
I think it's still going.
Still living large on that one?
What a moment that was.
You got your one, baby. You got your one.
Yeah, this is kind of what you said earlier. The dumbest thing. It's like, hey, they're a member, but we have to wait till Monday, guys, because God forbid we just come out and
well,
say
and announce it.
This is actually things you want to do the paperwork right on. No, otherwise, that costs somebody millions of dollars.
I mean, have you not figured this out by now? It was interesting that his reporting is that they wanted the Pac-12 was trying to give him a half share, quarter share, three-quarter share, and Texas State was like, hell no, we're not taking that.
They're like, no, Gonzaga's getting a full share
well,
for not
whole
football.
Well, want a full share. A half share, lesser share.
Yeah, and they said that's what they Pac-12 wanted them to take, and Texas State's been holding out. It sounds like they're going to get a full media share.
Okay, because there's mixed reporting on that part of it, but either way, I don't really care. I don't control the shares, and I don't get any of the shares.
Pac-12's got to get another team in to be legit, and they got to do it now.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they're going to have to give
Texas State
$5 million to buy out.
If they say no, what's your pivot?
Exactly.
Because the Sacramento State thing suddenly might not be happening. They're going to get ready to fight to be an FBS team, but they might not be one.
They got you by the balls a little bit because you need a team. You want a team in Texas that helps with recruiting. It helps with the footprint, and
I know people have
the buyout for a Memphis or anybody else. Like if you're going to go get one of those teams, the buyout is exponentially larger than what it is for Texas State.
People make fun of Texas State. That's fine. Like they're a nice little program.
They're pumping money into the program, and as Shehan mentioned, they're in Austin, Texas. It's not. They're not in Lubbock.
San Marcos,
they're not in
San Marcos.
Okay,
in between Austin and San Antonio.
They're in the Austin market.
No, don't give them Austin.
Give them the TV market.
They're trash. They're in the middle.
Do Oregon and Oregon State get to count the Portland market? They get to count the Austin market. That's how it works.
Corvallis, big TV market.
Although I think Texas is a little bit bigger in Austin than Texas State, probably. Dominates a lot of those eyeballs and a lot of the attention.
I would imagine so.
But not everybody can go to Texas. Not everybody can get into Texas. So maybe Texas State's a good fallback option.
Let me ask you this. If you are wanting to fly, I guess you could fly to figure out something to get to Pullman. Now in the new Pac-12, what is the best road game to go to?
Probably Texas State.
Over San Diego State?
Over San Diego State. Yeah.
Depending I think I'd rather go to Austin than San Diego. Fort Collins is gorgeous if you've ever been there.
Never been. I've heard good things.
Fort Collins is
gorgeous. And it's not that far out of Denver.
How cold does it get, though, when it's like November?
In the winter, yes.
Yeah,
it is. Like I said, if you go the right time of the year, you get a nice late September, early October game.
This would be the first one. Like, if I were an Oregon State fan or a Washington State fan and I'm making a planned trip the first year the conference is in existence, the first one on my list is to go to fly into Austin, spend a couple of days there, go watch my team play at Texas
State. Because you have to take into account, it's not just like, you could say, well, San Diego State, what a dumb question. Well, you're just choosing San Diego. The environment and the game have to matter, too.
They do.
And San Diego State might end up being
a good
team.
They got the new stadium there at Colorado State.
Nobody cares about football in San Diego, though. Like, have they ever sold out a football game at San Diego State?
I think
probably back in the Marshall Faulk days they did.
Are we sure about that?
I'm not sure about that.
They've had decent teams over the years. They've had good players over the years.
The new stadium is not, I mean, they played in the Murph.
I remember
where
when
Chargers...
Oregon State was there last year, there was like 14 people in the crowd.
They'd care about football more if an owner didn't steal their team to L.A.
Would they, though?
I think people cared about the Chargers.
I mean, I'm not saying they don't. The NFL, yes. I'm not talking NFL. I'm talking San Diego State Aztec football. I don't think they care about that.
You want
in San
the
Diego.
Road game, though. If you're playing at San Diego State, that's the one you want in early November.
Yeah, I mean, you're 100%. At least getting good weather out of it. You'll get some sunshine. But if you want environment and atmosphere in your game, that's maybe the last one on my list. I think of all the new Pac-12 teams, they have the worst atmosphere of all of them.
Oh,
then it's probably Boise State if you want atmosphere.
But Texas State seems good. If you're mixing atmosphere with where you have to be, I'm
combo platter.
I want the game to be good. I want a fan base that cares, but I don't want to be in Fresno.
Have you
been to Fresno?
That's true. Good point. Fresno would be
last. Fresno sucks.
Yeah, Fresno's last.
Terrible.
Yeah. Nothing.
I would have died in Fresno if it weren't for those bumps on the side of the highway. Let's go. Oh, I was sleeping.
Logan, Utah, another underrated locale.
Yeah. I've
gorgeous.
Heard it's beautiful.
Logan.
Yep.
Gary Anderson will come running out of that tunnel. Let's go, Aggies.
Go Beavers. So, how about that?
Texas State heading to the Pac-12. We just got to wait till Monday till it's official. But now we know the final member, as we've all known for weeks, is going to be officially announced at the end of the weekend. We went a little long there because you idiots wouldn't shut up about your stupid baseball teams. Nobody cares. Let's
best
talk
record in baseball
a little bit more. Yeah, keep cheating, Swigart. All right, nobody cares. I'm going to drop. Now you're going to sidetrack me again. Okay,
that's deferred payment.
No one cares. Yeah, keep cheating.
How's
over
that
there.
Devers deal paying off.
Actually, great. He hit a home run yesterday.
Well, they only scored 5 runs.
Yeah, he was 3 of them. They need another bat. That's the problem. They need more Devers. They got more of them.
Turns out my take on that trade, not a big deal.
Oh, we're slam dunking 2 weeks into the trade, huh?
Pitching's better deal.
Your team blow your roster up yet? 7 games below 500?
Why don't you get you one of these this decade?
We got 3 of them.
Why don't you get one in the decade?
Oh, in this decade.
Why don't you join the decade party? Me and Swag out here just having a good time.
Are you lashing out emotionally because you can't watch your baseball team the rest of the summer?
Hey, why don't you shut up, all right? Why don't you move on? It's the final hour.
Your team sucks. Atlanta going to lose a baseball team, too? Like, you lose NHL teams? Anybody care about them down there anymore?
Oh, we'll tomahawk chop your ass.
All right.
Don't you be careful.
We got a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. We're already there because you idiots won't shut up. Let's talk some more Blazer draft reaction. We got some more audio to get to, I would like to. I want to start, though, in college football, where two different athletes have said something. Who is dumber? We'll kick out the final hour next on The Fam.